Okay, let's do this. Intro, take one. Murder at Avedon Hill, episode T-3. No, that's not right. Okay, let's try it this way. Intro, take two. Murder at Avedon Hill, Book 1, Denial. Nah, that's not right either. Man, this isn't easy.
Who cares? Everyone knows your first podcast is going to suck. First episodes always suck.
But what about variant frequencies? It won a parsec based on its first episode.
Who are you, the frickin' Wikipedia of useless knowledge?
No, Wikipedia is the Wikipedia of useless knowledge.
Thanks, guys. I know you're trying to help, but it isn't working.
Why do you care? You're not even starting your story yet.
I know that, but I'm trying out new equipment. I want to make sure I know what I'm doing before starting the novel. Plus, this is probably the first audio that some of these listeners are going to hear from me.
You know, maybe the less you talk this week, the better off you'll be.
Yes, less chance of suckage that way.
You know, they may be right.
JC? JC Hutchins? Is that you?
PG, you gotta be yourself, man. As long as you do that, you're gonna be fine.
You mean my first podcast doesn't have to suck?
Oh no, it's gonna suck, but it'll get better. Don't worry, and quit doing my voice, would ya?
Yes, sir. No more impressions. JC? JC?
I knew it. Gilroy 2.0 is everywhere.
I heard that.
Damn. Sorry, JC. Promise, it won't happen again. Now that was weird. Welcome to a T-Minus podcast for Murder at Avedon Hill. Murder at Avedon Hill is a podcast novel written and performed by the author.
So, you gonna talk now?
A little. Listen, I don't need you again until the prologue, so you can go now.
Fine, I'm out of here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first official episode of the Murder at Avedon Hill podcast. I'm calling this thing the T-3 episode, as I will release this and two more episodes before starting the actual Murder at Avedon Hill podcast novel. My name is P.G. Holyfield. So why do T-Minus podcasts? First and foremost, I just got some real sound equipment, a Behringer Xenix mixer and an MXL microphone, and I found my house is not great for audio recording, with lots of high ceilings, hardwood, tile floors, open doorways. And so right now I'm recording this episode in a small recessed sitting area in my bedroom. If this doesn't work well enough, my fifth and last option will be setting up and recording in a small walk-in closet surrounded by my wife's clothes. How's that for an epic fantasy podcast? The second reason this is called episode T-3 is that I've made a promise that I won't begin the actual podcast novel until I finish my final edits of the print version of the book. And as everyone who knows me understands, my wife is the boss. But the truth is, I just couldn't wait any longer. I had to put something out into my feed to let people know I'm here and what I'm all about. For the last 6 months, I've been producing content for other podcasts. Promos, skits, short stories, and that's where I'm going with this first episode. I want to play some of that content for you today, and along the way, I want to play some promos from some of my favorite podcasts. The whole reason I've reached this point and started a podcast is that I've been motivated by many of the great podcast novels out there, and by many of the podcasters I had a chance to meet at Dragon Con last September. Seventh Son, Ancestor, Brave Men Run. I could go on, and I will a little bit later. Now, since this is going to be a promo-heavy podcast, and because I realize that most of you have learned about my podcast because we listen to some of these same programs, I'm going to tell you what podcast the promo is from before I play it, plus how long it is, just in case you've heard it all before and want to skip ahead and get back to me yapping. And actually, this would be a good place for me to play my first promo, the first of three promos I'm playing for the upcoming podcast novel, Billabub Battings and The Case of the Singing Sword, by my friend and mentor, T. Morris. T is the perfect example of why I love podcasting. When I met T at DragonCon, I had communicated with him several times through email, through Skype, mostly concerning his survival guide to writing fantasy podcast. And when I introduced myself to him at DragonCon, he recognized me immediately, walked over, and gave me a big hug. Not that I necessarily wanted a hug from the man, but T. Morris defines the nature of most podcasters. The understanding that the relationship between podcaster and audience is what makes podcasting great. Most podcasters I have met embrace that, just like T, only without the touchy-feely stuff. Anyway, here's the first promo for Billy, and if you've heard this before, you can skip ahead 1 minute and 50 seconds, and you'll be back for my next segment.
Look, Hutchins, I'm not taking anything away from your success, so long as you know that you wouldn't be where you are if it weren't for me.
I keep talking, Sigler, and maybe someone will actually buy what you're selling.
Bottom line, Pally, I was podcasting before you even knew the ass end of a microphone.
Really? Mr. Tech-tard? And who was the pioneer that posted the same podcast twice? Yeah, a real bonus episode if I ever heard one.
Brother, I'll put my junkies up against your betas any day.
Yeah?
Yeah!
Yeah?
Yeah!
Excuse me.
What?
Sorry, I couldn't help but over here. You guys, Scott Sigler and J.C. Hutchins?
Yeah.
Scott Sigler, Earthcore, Ancestor, Daruki, and, what's that other one?
Infection?
Yeah, didn't like that one so much. And you, J.C. Hutchins, with the Seventh Son, right? That's the series about the clowns.
Clones. For the love of God.
Oh, yeah, clones. That's right, with all the voices. Yeah.
Dumbass.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you guys were who you sound like you were. Yeah, I listen to podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good friend of my family podcast.
How proud you must be.
Yeah. He's got a message for you. Happy Valentine's Day from T. Morris.
The world's first podcast novelist is back. Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword. St. Valentine's Day, 2007.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. You, got a problem with that?
So a bit about me. While I live in North Carolina now, I grew up in Virginia and attended the University of Virginia back in the late 80s. I was an English major for a while, a biology major for a while, a history major for a while. You get the picture. But nothing ever stuck until I began taking religious studies classes. Specifically, when I took my first Eastern religion class, I knew I had found exactly what I was looking for. Yes, a major that held no possible chance for future employment. For the next 2 years, I concentrated on Eastern religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and you will find that those religions have greatly influenced my writing. The Land of Cairn, which is the setting for Murder at Avedon Hill, is a perfect example of that influence. Cairn is a setting where the gods enter the world in order to directly affect events. These powerful beings, also known as the Children of Aj, nearly destroyed Cairn during its early history, so Aj placed some major constraints on his children. They can choose to enter Cairn, but only as mortals without the knowledge of their true nature. Theoretically, these beings could be born, live full mortal lives, and then die, never knowing their true identities. But because of their nature and their latent powers, they still manage to affect the world both in positive and negative ways, even if they never realize who they are. Of course, in many cases, these incarnations learn their true identities during their lives, an epiphany that brings them more, but certainly not all, of their innate powers. And even then, the Children of Aj are still very mortal. Like many fantasy settings, the Land of Cairn started as a campaign setting for Dungeons & Dragons. I've played RPGs on and off since 1980, and while I don't have a current gaming group, the discovery of some great RPG podcasts has done a lot to rekindle my love of gaming. Right now, I'm going to play the promo for my favorite RPG podcast, The Dragon's Landing Inn. If you want to skip ahead, this promo is 1 minute in length.
Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Dragon's Landing Inn. Come in from the cold and warm yourself by the fire.
Wow, thanks a lot. It's downright cold out there.
If you're looking for something to eat, we've got a feast of ideas and advice for tabletop RPG players over there.
Uh-huh.
And in the back room, we have interviews with gaming industry insiders.
Right.
And out here in the common room, we have lots of good, hearty discussion about all kinds of RPGs and accessories. So, what can I get for you?
One podcast later.
Little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm. No little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm.
Visit the Dragon's Landing podcast at www.dragonslanding.com.
During the 90s, I started several different novels, only one of which is probably worth finishing at some point. That novel, which will be called The War for Cairn, takes place some 25 years before events of Murder at Avedon Hill. The main character in Murder at Avedon Hill, Aramis Cragan, is also one of the major players in this earlier novel. It has been fun to write Murder at Avedon Hill with the knowledge of what Aramis went through during his youth, and those events play a part in how Aramis is perceived and treated by the inhabitants of Avedon Hill. Not the best segue here, but it's time for another promo. There are many geek-centric news and entertainment podcasts out there. My personal favorite is the Geek Label podcast. The guys from Geek Label make great t-shirts, are only slightly younger than myself, so I appreciate most of their 80s and 90s geek references, and they live around Richmond, Virginia, a city where I lived and worked for several years. Plus, they're just damn funny. So here is the one-minute promo for the Geek Label podcast.
This is the Kingfish.
Along with the Vicar.
And Super Geek Billy from the Geek Label Podcast.
Sure, there are other geekish podcasts out there.
But really, who are we kidding?
Do you want your geek news?
Do you want your thoughts shared across the globe?
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Do you want a chance to win amazingly cool t-shirts?
Well, the game is afoot.
News, information, prizes.
We'll bribe you if we have to.
A look at any and everything from hardcore geek to stealth geek.
And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
Don't believe me? Then check out this completely random man on the street testimonial.
Hi, this is George Takei. I love listening to the Geek Label Podcast, and you will too.
Get your geek on with the Geek Label Podcast.
Another quality product from Geek Label.
A little more about Murder at Avedon Hill. Prophecies are important in this world, as they are in many fantasy settings. One of the children of Aj is named Iberian, the Child of Prophecy. Nearly 500 years before the time frame for this novel, an avatar of Iberian lived and promoted the idea that the different pantheons of the different races were in fact different incarnations of the same set of immortal beings. It is Iberian that provided insight on the overarching pantheon of Aj and his 10 children. Only later, following his death, did his followers declare that Iberian was an actual 11th child of Aj, and that many of the prophets during Cairn's history were previous incarnations of the same child of prophecy that they, of course, named Iberian. Iberian's prophecies were collected and have been interpreted and reinterpreted since his death. Iberian has not returned to Cairn, at least as a recognized avatar, since his death 500 years ago. But many feel that the final prophecies of Iberian are coming to pass, that the time of the children is here, that all 11 children of Aj have entered Cairn and will all learn their true nature, and that the fabric that was frayed during Cairn's early history will now be completely torn. Another solid segue here. So let's take a break to listen to a promo about the largest podcast-related contest ever held. This contest is over at the Podcast Pickle, and if you are interested in podcasts or podcasting, you really need to listen to this.
Introducing the biggest podcaster contest ever. In February, PodcastPickle.com will have a giant Easter egg hunt on our site, all to celebrate the new updated Podcast Pickle. Pickle 5. Whoever is first to find the hidden Easter egg on PodcastPickle.com is the winner. The winner gets the whole prize package of cash, products, and advertising. The growing list of prizes includes 6 months subscription to the School of Podcasting, a month's worth of stream hosting, a year's worth of banner ads on PodcastPickle.com, Xbox 360 button, podcast interview on the front page of Podcast Alley, branded podcatcher, a box of podcast crap, Pop Current t-shirt, the Bitterest Pill CD, an autographed copy of Tricks of the Podcasting Master, Podcast Pickle hat, autographed hardcover illustrated copy of The Pocket and the Pendant, $5 in cash, secret prize by Kimi, free tuition at audiocourses.com, second life package by Radioactive, analysis of your website to increase traffic, barely podcasting promo play, a Poo Poo Player Pro and 1 free month animated advertising on the free Poo Poo Player, 2 bottles of Entertainer Secret Throat Relief, a voiceover package from Madtown Audio Productions, and a box of stuff from Iota PromoNet. Let's see, am I forgetting anybody? Oh yeah, and the biggest prize of all, $500 in cash from PodcastPickle.com. Thousands of dollars in prizes. And a whole lot of fun. The Easter egg hunt on PodcastPickle.com. Coming in February. Go to PodcastPickle.com for all the details.
So, what does this belief in divine prophecy have to do with our novel? Aramis Cragan was the former Aaronic advisor to the present King of Pendar. He has spent his later years in study, becoming something of a scholar and interpreter of the prophecies of Iberian. Aramis is traveling to the city of Kith Karn to attend a conference organized by the priests of Cairn. The priests of Cairn are the former followers of Iberian, and in the 500 years since Iberian's death, they have become the most powerful religious sect in all of Cairn. As an independent thinker with no ties to the priests of Cairn, Aramis's voice is very important to many attending the conference. To reach the conference in time, Aramis knows he must use the Olviaran Pass, a series of tunnels and roads that cut through the Lentis Mountains. But when Aramis Cragan reaches Avedon Hill, the town that marks the entrance to the Olviaran Pass, he finds a town that has closed its gates to travelers. A prominent citizen has been murdered, and the mayor of Avedon Hill has closed its gates. Aramis Cragan, in order to reach his destination, quickly learns that in order to gain access to the Olviaran Pass, he will have to unlock the secrets of Avedon Hill. So, as I've stated, one of the reasons I am podcasting Murder at Avedon Hill is because I have been motivated by some of the great podcast fiction that I've had the pleasure of listening to over the past year. If I had more time, I'd play promos for the short fiction podcasts I listen to religiously, such as Escape Pod and Pseudopod. But time is limited, so my promos are going to focus on longer fiction. And right now, I'd like to play a promo for Lani Izzell's Daughter of the Sun. I bought and read the print version of Daughter of the Sun back in November, and it is flat out a great adventure. Currently, I'm listening to every episode of its follow-up podcast, trying to learn how authors such as Lani Izzell translate their fiction into the audio form. So here is the 2-minute promo for Lani Izzell's Daughter of the Sun.
In a broken world where magic has been outlawed,
the entire village knows your candles have a little somewhat special about them.
Like mother, like daughter.
Hang her.
She nearly burned the village down.
One family rules it all.
He did this. He killed my baby. He's a monster. No better than the fiend he calls a father.
One woman cursed with magic.
What have I done?
Becomes the pawn in a game of thrones that will tear the world apart.
Who is the woman you're so urgent to find?
Her mother.
Does she wear the red?
I'm not sure, my lord. It is said that she is breathable. By all indications, though, she's unable to control it.
You will kill her.
Of course, my lord.
Do you think he knows?
When we find the woman, she will destroy him for us.
When her daughter is stolen...
Joss! They stole my Joss!
She wants only one thing, to get her back.
You were brave to have come here for me, my dear. You have no idea how foolish that bravery was, though. She was just a child. She was there to serve you.
What do you know of a mother's love? I will be killing you.
But that all changes when she finds her.
What have they done to you?
Join me. Together we can stop the Overlord. The children will go free.
Never!
Daughter of the Sun, the epic fantasy novel by Lonnie Ezell. Find out more about the novel, the author, and the podcast at LonnieEzell.com.
What I love most about Lonnie's novel is how magic works in his world. The price, the cost of magic is very important to me, and something I have concentrated on even more in my setting after reading Daughter of the Sun. As I said at the beginning of this episode, I have contributed to several podcasts over the last 6 months as a way to learn the art, or at least for me, the process of creating audio. The first thing I want to play for you is a skit I did for Leanne Mabry's Tag in the Seam podcast. Tag in the Seam is billed as the podcast for real women. But in reality, her podcast is just as much for men that love, or at least are trying to understand, real women. And by real women, if Leanne is any indication, this means women that put up with us geeks and have great senses of humor. This skit is something I did for Leanne that touches on my favorite podcast novel, Seventh Son. The skit is me imitating J.C. Hutchins as he creates a promo for Leanne's Tag and Scene podcast, but using a voice of one of his novel's characters. Confused yet? If you haven't listened to Seventh Son or heard the name J.C. Hutchins, I'm sure you are a little bit lost, but I think most everyone that might be listening to my podcast will know Seventh Son. But then again, I really shouldn't assume, so let's begin with a 2-minute promo for the best podcast novel in production today, Seventh Son, Book 2, Deceit.
In March 2006, the Seventh Son thriller trilogy began. 7 human clones were ripped away from their normal lives to stop a conspiracy created by their ruthless progenitor, a man codenamed John Alpha. Now, a new adventure awaits John, Father Thomas, Kilroy 2.0, and the other beta clones. The world is hours away from a nuclear attack. The Vice President is an agent of evil. And John Alpha lives on and possesses technology that can make anyone, anywhere, a puppet of his wrath. To prevent the next phase of Alpha's scheme, John and the others must face the horrors of betrayal, race cross-country to track their nemesis, and discover that the bloodshed they've witnessed is merely a prelude to the world-rending destruction to come. Seventh Son, Book 2, Deceit, is the new novel in the hit audiobook series by J.C. Hutchins. Join more than 11,000 listeners who currently tune in each week to hear new chapters and cliffhangers, as well as special appearances by best-selling authors Robert J. Sawyer, Mike Resnick, Tracy Hickman, Jeff Loeb, Mark Waid, and chart-topping podcasters Keith and the Girl, Scott Sigler, Mer Lafferty, The Crew from The Signal, and exclusive readings by film director and editor Patrick Lussier and Nathan Fillion, star of Firefly and Serenity. Become a part of the Seventh Son experience. Find Seventh Son, Book 2, Deceit, and Book 1, Descent, at jchutchins.net and at podiobooks.com.
Okay, so now that that's out of the way, I'll play the promo skit I did for Tag in the Seam, where again, I'm doing my best impersonation of both J.C. Hutchins and one of his novel's characters, Kilroy 2.0. For those of you that have heard this one before, it's 2.5 minutes long, in case you want to skip ahead.
Okay, Mr. Hutchins, we have one last bumper.
Oh, for the love of Mirasanja! Oh, what's this one?
It's on page 3, sir. Quick bumper, 2 lines.
Got it. Are you ready?
Whenever you are, Mr. Hutchins.
This is J.C. Hutchins, author of Seventh Son, Book 1, Descent, and Book 2, Deceit. And you are listening to Taggin' the Seam with Leanne Rhymes.
Mabry, sir.
What?
Mabry. Leanne Mabry.
This isn't Leanne Rhymes.
No, sir. I'm just reading the notes here. You wrote Leanne Mabry.
I have no idea who that is. Taggin' the Seam?
It's a podcast, sir. Let me look at your notes. Mostly female-related topics, but a host that has embraced her geeky side, so her content appeals to both genders.
What, is she hot or something?
I don't know, sir. You met her at Dragon Con. These are your notes I'm reading here. That's why you said you're going to do this bumper.
Are you kidding, Martin? Like I remember. I was snockered most of the weekend. You've seen the photos.
Yes, sir. It looks like you had a great time.
Damn right. Getting my own room next year, though. No more rooming with Sigler and Morris.
Morris?
Don't worry about that. That's unimportant. Let me do this bumper so I can get the hell out of here.
Ready when you are, sir.
Okay.
This is J.C. Hutchins, author of Seventh Son, Book 1, Descent, and Book 2, Deceit. And you are listening to Taggin' the Seam with Leanne Mabry.
You nailed it, sir.
Good. I got to release another Ministry of Propaganda order. Time to make my gerbils run through the maze again.
Why does he have to laugh like that every time he nails one? Crazy son of a bitch. If his fans only knew this was his real voice.
I can already tell that I'm going to go over my planned episode time, but some of you have probably been skipping some of the promos, so I hope you don't mind. So let's get back to the novel. One of the questions I usually get about the story is how it came about. Back in 2003, Murder at Avedon Hill began as an idea for a tournament module for the computer game Neverwinter Nights. Neverwinter Nights allowed creators to build adventures within the game's editor, which players could then play through using Neverwinter Nights. The module was going to be a mystery with multiple endings, so teams of players could play through the module and compete against other teams. I came up with the plot, the characters, and built out some of the locations using the Neverwinter Nights toolset. Others were tasked with doing the scripting and other technical items that would make the module work within the game. But, as things often happen, time became an issue for everyone involved, so the story died, until I decided that the story should still be told. Since the tournament module was going to be part of the Neverwinter Vault community website, I began writing and releasing chapters of the story, then called Murder at Avedon Manor, on a biweekly basis. Each chapter ended with a question or a cliffhanger, and Errol Pinto, Neverwinter Vault's editor, incorporated the story into a contest on the Neverwinter Vault website. Community members could bet on what they thought would happen next, and the site automatically kept score for each contestant based on what happened in the next chapter. This was a grand exercise for me. I wanted to experience writing fiction on a deadline, even though it was only a self-imposed deadline. I was successfully meeting my deadline, okay, for the most part, and after 23 chapters, my wife Liza kicked me and asked me why I wasn't trying to publish this. Since there was only positive feedback around the story, I ended part one of the mystery with a cliffhanger and let everyone know that I was ending the web version of the story, and then I was going to start on part two with the intention of publishing it as a novel. I'll come back to this, but for now, a short break for a 90-second promo for my favorite podcast on marketing yourself and your work as an author, T. Morris's Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy.
In 1 year, over 170,000 books are published. And out of those 170,000 books, you want the world to read yours. That's when you need the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy. I'm its host, T. Morris.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
The Survival Guide provides an inside look at how authors market and self-promote their works and themselves. you'll hear how author Tony Ruggiero and I, on a limited budget, decide whether or not to visit DragonCon.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah,
no.
I'll drive.
Okay.
You'll get ideas on the best way to handle fans and critics.
You know what the rest of your problem is?
You've never had anybody give you the angina treatment.
And on occasion, I'll feature an interview, like the one I did with Hugo and Nebula winner Rob Sawyer.
Everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Visit www.tmorris.com and enroll for the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, a podcast of strategies and insights.
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
So, when I stopped posting the serialized version of the novel, it was 2005. Since that time, I've rewritten the entire first half of the novel, integrating the plot within the Land of Cairn fantasy setting. And as many writers will tell you, even though I had an outline and knew where the story was supposed to go, over this last year, I was very surprised to discover the true ending of Murder at Avedon Hill. Now, since I'm talking about writing, I want to play a promo for my favorite writing podcast, Murr Lafferty's I Should Be Writing. I got to work with Murr on the Nano Monkeys podcast, which was a NaNoWriMo support podcast we did with Chris Miller and KJ Johnson of the Roundtable podcast. The Nano Monkeys podcast was a lot of fun, and again, it was good preparation, I hope, for this podcast. By the way, before I play this 1 minute promo, I just wanted to get this out of the way. Murr is my hero.
Farpoint Media.
Long had I traveled through a desert of inspiration. The blank pages, they dreamed of the ink's kiss. Sheets so dry, in days they would be as dust. I searched the wavering horizon of internet for anything to slake this thirst. And on what I thought would be my last day, I saw something there, wavering in the distance. The shimmer of an oasis would be my salvation. But I do not have time to tell you of it, for I should be writing. For more information, visit shouldwrite.blogspot.com.
Now, that promo was created by the wildly talented musician and writer Phil Rossi. Here's a 45-second promo for his podcast, Filling the Page.
Embracing your creative side is a beautiful thing, and no one said you had to limit yourself. Each idea is a shining seed that can grow into something beautiful. I'm Phil Rossi. Join me on the Filling the Page podcast, where I explore creativity, short attention spans, and great hair. I'm a musician, a writer, and aspiring author. Tune in as I share my adventures trying to make time for all of it. Subscribe at fillingthepage.blogspot.com.
So I've given a bit of background on me and on the novel, and about some of the things I've been doing in preparation for this podcast. The last thing I want to play for you today is a skit I wrote called The Kilroy 2.0 Stress Disorder. As you heard earlier, I did a promo for Leanne Mabry using the voice of Kilroy 2.0, a character from Seventh Son. While nearly giving myself an aneurysm doing that voice, I came up with the idea of fans injuring themselves while imitating Kilroy 2.0. I wrote up this fake public service announcement based on the idea, and some great podcasters donated both their time and energy during the Christmas holidays to make this skit a reality. But first, here's the second promo for Billabub Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword.
What's going on?
Where the hell are we?
Jeez, that light is bright.
Man, where the hell are we?
Dude,
we're tied up.
Tied up. This is ridiculous.
Mr. Sigler, Mr. Hutchins, I got a message from T. Morris.
Hey, wait a second. Didn't you whack us in the last promo?
Shut up. The boss is working on a new podcast novel.
Oh, yeah, right. Does he even remember how to make one of those? It's been a while.
Shut up.
Oh.
This is Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword.
Billabub Battings?
And the Case of the Singing Sword?
The finalist from Forward Magazine's Best Fiction of 2004 and the Independent Publisher's Best Science Fiction of 2005.
And whodunit.com describes as Sam Spade, Mickey Splane, and Joe Friday combined with stories of Terry Brooks or J.K. Rowling?
Shut up. So if you go to tmorris.com and click on the banner for the Billabub Battings podcast, you can subscribe there. Capiche? Capiche?
You told us to shut up.
Shut up.
Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword. Launching St. Valentine's Day, 2007. Find out more by clicking on the Billabub Battings podcast banner at www.tmorris.com.
You know, Hutch, Earthcore was a Forward finalist in 2006 too, buddy.
Shut up.
Ouch. Mommy.
So now I'm going to play the short version of the Kilroy 2.0 stress disorder skit. There's a longer 10-minute version of this skit, which I will link to in the show notes. Also in the show notes will be the names of the podcasters that contributed to the creation of the skit and their respective podcasts. The short version of the stress disorder skit is 6.5 minutes, after which I will close with some final remarks.
1 out of 11 podcast listeners suffer from a condition that, until today, never had a name. The very podosphere is in peril. A menace not seen since the "I was the first podcast novelist, now I was the first podcast novelist" debate that threatened to bore the podosphere to death in 2005.
Oh, God.
What you have just heard is the sound of pain, of addiction. But more importantly, what you just heard was a cry for help.
You think you're being safe. It's not that hard to do the damn voice, for God's sake. But then, bam, you look like this. I can't straighten my head. My ear, it's stuck to my frackin' shoulder.
It's been crazy. At first it was once, maybe twice a week, but now there's at least one or two a night. Besides the symptoms, the neck and shoulder strains, the head rush, they all have MP3 players and they all say the same phrase. Kilroy 2.0 is here. Kilroy 2.0 is everywhere.
Kilroy 2.0 stress disorder.
The walls, they're talking to me. Ow!
Unsuspecting fans of J.C. Hutchins and his podcast novels, Seventh Son, Book 1, Descent, and Book 2, Deceit, fall into an insidious trap set by the author himself. Fans listen to the podcast of Mr. Hutchins. Nature takes over, and these fans eventually attempt their own impression of the hacker prophet, unaware of the dangerous game they are playing. For some, the initial failure saves them.
Do you comply? That was a terrible, terrible Kilroy impression.
But for the rest, it becomes an addiction that quickly spirals out of control.
I have no idea who that is.
I started doing the Kilroy impression during an interview I did with that man. It was so easy. It was fun. People laughed. It was a big hit at our weekly Seventh Son parties. Then I decided to record a promo using the Kilroy voice. I was in the moment, nailing it, shaking my head, and all of a sudden, I can't see, I can't breathe, and I fall down and break my arm.
Not since the Beavis Fire Fire Syndrome of 1994 has there been an outbreak of this order of magnitude.
Fire! I am Cornholio, an ATV from my bunghole. Cornholio 2.0. I see Cornholio 2.0. Cornholio 2.0. Yeah, he rocks. He totally rocks.
But in this case, the blame can be squarely laid at the feet of Kilroy's creator, J.C. Hutchins.
The secret is you got to raise your shoulders up to around your earlobes, right? And you
got
to quiver your head back and forth, and then you just kind of have to giggle a little bit.
Okay, they call me crazy, man. This whole thing, it's a conspiracy, man. I'm telling you, Kilroy 2.0. Okay, dude, man, he's bigger than God, man. He's bigger than the Beatles, man. He's here. He's there. He's like the freaking post office, man, because, you know, Kilroy 2.0 is everywhere, man. And you know what happens if you don't comply with Kilroy 2.0? Bad things, man. Bad things.
Yes, Kilroy 2.0 does indeed seem to be everywhere.
It was horrible. I was doing the shaking thing. It was like some kind of new tick, like a bit of Tourette's or something. It was up and down, and side to side, all at the same time. Nobody told me how dangerous it was. I started laughing. Laughing uncontrollably. Not even at funny things. It was everything. A Visa card commercial comes on the TV and I couldn't stop laughing. I did the shaking and the laughing. It was horrible. It was horrible. Horrible.
Kilroy 2.0 stress disorder. For your health, the health of your family, and for the sake of the world, just say no to Kilroy 2.0 impressions.
Kilroy 2.0 is here. Kilroy 2.0 is a... Oh, God!
Together, we can all make the world a better place.
So, T-minus 3 is nearly in the can. In T-minus 2, I'll be playing some of my fiction that has appeared on other podcasts, most notably the short story I did that was played on Scott Sigler's The Rookie podcast called Death, Taxes, and Scott Sigler. I hope you'll return for that, which should be released next week. Then comes T-minus 1, which will be more of a teaser for the podcast novel, plus a couple short stories that are set in the Land of Karen fantasy setting. After these, on Wednesday, March 7th, I'll be releasing the first episode of Murder at Avedon Hill. I hope you'll join me next time. Thanks for listening. So, Sarge, what do you think?
Well, you're showing promise, Private Podcast. Now drop and give me 20.
Sir, I don't understand. What for?
Because you did not play the promo for Moravi, Private Podcast. Now, did I stutter? I believe I said drop and give me 20.
But Sarge, I played 3 of your promos. And Moravi's, what, 2 years old now? Ow!
That's why it's only 20, survivalist.
Sir, yes, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ow, Sarge, your foot, it's on my back.
Next time, Private Podcast, no cracks about my man love. Do you understand me?
Sir, yes, sir. 5, 6. You've been listening to a T-minus episode for Murder at Avedon Hill. Murder at Avedon Hill is a podcast novel written by P.G. Holyfield and read by the author. Thanks for listening. Please visit pgholyfield.com for more information on this novel and the author. Music in this podcast generously provided by Shira Common through Magnatune.com. Magnatune.com. They are not evil. This podcast is copyright 2007 P.G. Holyfield and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 2.5 license.
All right. Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword promo, take one.
No! I'm tired of this. So far in these promos, I've been shot at, punched, and tied to Scott Sigler, and I'm done.
Mr. Hutchins, I think you need to calm down.
Calm down? Dude, I have been tied to this chair since the last promo. So until some things change here, I'm done.
Uh-huh.
What are you gonna do with that chain?
Oh, it's not what I'm gonna do. It's what you're gonna do. Have a good swim.
Ah!
And I was looking forward to seeing where Seventh Son was going. All right. Billabub Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword promo, take two. Mr. Sigler, whenever you're ready.
F*** you and F*** T. Morris.
Huh. Guess you really didn't want to see Ancestor in print April 1st, Mr. Sigler, did you? Alley-oop! All right, moving on. Billabub Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword promo, take three. Whenever you're ready.
Hi, this is Christiana Ellis, author of Nina Kimberly the Merciless and creator of Pickle Tales.
Whoa, Miss Ellis. I think you need to loosen up a little bit for Mr. Morris, huh?
Look, buddy, you go and tell Mr. Morris that he can blow it out of his mixer board, okay? I give him an actual voice role in my book, and all I get is a stinking promo? The third one at that.
You know, maybe you should read this as if your life depended on it.
You know, if you're going to make threats, maybe it should be to someone less associated with the word merciless.
Jeez, this is going to be a long night.
Billabub Battings in the Case of the Singing Sword. Find out more by clicking on the Billabub Battings podcast banner at www.tmorris.com.
So much for Matthew Wayne Selznick. Brave men run, but they sure don't swim. Hey, Moose, Rocco, let's pack our bags and go to England. That fancy pants, Jenkins, he's next on the list.